back, continuing our soul series. Last week we were talking to Esther Hicks. Esther's still here. Esther Hicks, author of The Law of Attraction. She and her husband Jerry Hicks wrote that book along with Asking It Shall Be Given, Amazing Power of Deliberate Intent. Yeah. And those of you who saw the original secret tapes, you will see Esther on the original secret tapes. As we were saying last week, she's no longer on the tapes. I never let you answer why you're no longer on the tapes. We started to ask that question.
Well, Rhonda said to us that because of the contractual agreement that we had with her, that
supposed to get 10%. That's what I read in the New York Times.
It was 10% of the DVD sales and 5% of any profit from it. And when we began it, we honestly did not believe that there would be any profit at all because it was a television series in Australia. Mm-hmm. And our intellectual property rights attorney told us not to expect anything, and we didn't. So mm-hmm. we were thrilled with what came from it. But she said that they were not able to market it, maybe because Abraham's too weird. I don't know. She never explained to me why. They weren't able to market it with...
Abraham is the entity that vibrates, and then she speaks.
There you go.
The vibration. I got that. Yeah.
And that it would be necessary that we sign over our intellectual property rights for the material, or they would have to edit us out. So it was a simple decision for us. Mm-hmm. And then we began receiving so many emails from so many people that were so upset that we were no longer in it. So we wrote a letter to try to explain because we didn't want people to be upset about anything.
Yeah.
There isn't anything, nothing went wrong. Everything's all right.
So really. There's no feud or anything.
You know, I understand why Rhonda did what she did, I think, and it is better for me to try to understand because pushing against something isn't good for me.
Right.
And I love her. She's adorable. Yeah. And our books are really doing well, but there's no question about it. The emphasis on Law of Attraction has turned a lot of readers to that book.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah, I happened to see it on the New York Times bestsellers list the other day, and I went, whoa, some other people are being
nice.
Attracted to the Law of Attraction.
It's nice, huh?
That's very nice. So, at the time when you were removed, were you or Jerry, were you upset about it in any way?
It was a really painful experience for me because it felt to me like we were drawn in one way and utilized and then sort of discarded. But feeling sorry for yourself is not a healthy state of being, and so I'm like way over it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, we've just been looking at the positive aspects of it.
And the positive aspect of it is, I'm sure you see this, lots of other people are being introduced to your work, even though you're no longer on that particular tape.
In fact, two or three people said to me recently that people are saying to them they're excited about The Secret, now what? And then they offer them our book because that kind of tells them what to do next.
Yeah, what to do next.
Yeah.
What's interesting also, too, about your book, which I really liked very much and I've underlined, and as I was saying last week, when my friends and I, when it was first given to me, we all read together and I'd say, I'm on page 63. What page are you on? We're on page 82. Let's underline that. We're all talking about it. Your book does not put as much emphasis, and I think one of the criticisms right now of The Secret is, and I can see why people criticize it, is that it's all about getting rich. There's the moment in The Secret where I think somebody puts the check on the ceiling and they're talking about money, 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 money. But as I was reading the Law of Attraction is about how everything is coming into your life.
That's right.
Based on the way you're thinking, and not just about money. Do you think that the emphasis on money and getting rich and having boats and planes and bicycles has hurt it?
Well, you know, maybe. But in fairness, as we watched her production unfold, and the original Secret, I haven't watched the second one, but mm-hmm. the original one, she had a balance. She had people talking about money and people talking about health and other things. I think her intention was to cover everything, but you know, we have recordings on all of those things too, and the ones that are about money are the ones that outsell all of the others. That's the thing that people seem to think will solve everything. We know that it doesn't.
I have to say too, I think that's why people are so attracted to The Secret, because they think it can help them get rich. Some people do, anyway.
The Secret. Sure.
So today we're talking about, and with Esther Hicks, who's the author of The Law of Attraction, and also I like Asking It Shall Be Given. That's on my bedside right now. Not that I really need to ask for anything else. I'm doing okay.
Well, you know, though, you never stop, do you?
No.
I mean, there's always something more.
One of the things I really got from reading The Law of Attraction, your version of it, is that what you can ask for and what I've been asking for and also receiving is more joy, because ultimately that is the ultimate success.
That's it.
More joy.
That's it. That's what it's all about.
And so to have more joy even in all the things that you already have and all the things that you already do, to do those things deliberately with joy.
Oh, man, that's the best of all of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great ask.
Yeah.
One of the other things I liked about what you wrote in The Law of Attraction, you and Jerry, is that we do not want to alter your beliefs. And I just wanted to say that because many years ago I was doing on my show something called Remembering Your Spirit, and I was so attacked by it. I believe that it was a way of introducing people to the best part, the higher part of themselves, remembering your spirit. And every day for about 5 minutes, we'd take a moment and we'd have people look at their lives differently, spend a quiet moment and so forth. And I received so much criticism about it because some people thought I was trying to tell them what to believe.
Right.
I really wasn't. I was just saying that who you are is so beautiful. Just spend some time with that and let that evolve to its highest self. But I love in the Law of Attraction, I think it's on page 21, where it says, we do not want to alter your beliefs. What does that mean?
Again, I want you to ask Abraham that because that is them saying it. But what I hear Abraham saying to us is that everyone gets to create their own reality. And Abraham's not interested in telling us what we should create. They're only interested in showing us how we go about creating what our life path is about.
Right. I'm going to ask you to bring him in a moment, but I just wanted to
You'll
read
be glad.
Them. We want you to know your value, for in the absence of that understanding, you do not attract the legacy that truly belongs to you. Because in your lack of self-appreciation, you deny yourself your natural inheritance of continuous joy. Now, I read that, and I think about all the difficult things that are happening in people's lives and difficult things that have happened to me. So is it your belief or understanding that we're all here, everybody's supposed to have continuous joy?
Yes.
What about the yin and yang of life?
Well, the contrast is what helps us to define from our personal perspective what it is we want to create. And once that explodes in us, if we would just turn our attention to that, we'd get that.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, most of us, it's like getting back to money, we'll say, I don't have enough money. Well, every time we know that we don't have enough money, we ask for more. And when we ask, it is given. But we keep beating the drum of, I don't have enough money. And
yeah,
so
I said this on a show, that what you see people saying all the time is, if I could only make it to the end of the month. I've heard people say that. If I could only just make it to the end of the month. And you do.
Yeah.
You make it to the end of the month,
right,
and you don't have more. So are you saying that the Law of Attraction says that whatever you give your attention to, that's what you attract?
Exactly. Knowing what we don't want helps us know what we do want.
Yeah.
But we keep talking about where we're at, so we don't let ourselves become a match to what life has caused us to ask for.
I got that. You say also in the Law of Attraction, page 25, once you understand that all people, circumstances, and events are invited into your experience by you, through your thought, you will begin to live your life as you intended when you made the decision to come forth into this physical body. And so an understanding of the powerful Law of Attraction coupled with an intention to deliberately create your own life experience will ultimately lead you to the unparalleled freedom that can only come from a complete understanding and application of the art of allowing.
It's so much fun. See, Law of Attraction's working all the time, whether we know that it is or not. But when we deliberately set forth an intention and we deliberately try to hold our thoughts on that by paying attention to the way we feel and guiding our thoughts that way, then to watch things begin to unfold, that's when life's really fun.
I got that.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Esther Hicks here, who is, I'm saying today, the secret behind the secret, because she was a big, big, big part, she and her husband Jerry, of the creation of the DVD that Rhonda Byrne did. Rhonda and her crews went to sit with Jerry and with Esther, and she was on the original tape. She's no longer on the tape, but she is here in our studio. And I'm going to ask you to channel Abraham. And let me just say before you do that, the reason why I wanted to do this on the radio is because I really do think that the television audience isn't ready for it.
Yeah.
So I just know. And so I know all the people listening, you're going to think it's a weird thing. And maybe it is a weird thing. I'm going to see for myself how weird it is.
Prepare yourself.
I'm preparing myself. That's why I thought I would do this virgin. I'd do my virgin run with Abraham on the radio in case some weird old thing happened. So what happens? What is the process? Can you tell our listeners what this means?
I just relax and quiet my mind. I usually focus on my breathing.
Are you going to look the same?
Yeah, nothing's going to change. It'll be all right.
Okay.
It'll be all right. My eyes dilate is about the only thing that's different. The
pupils. And does it happen every time? Can you do it? Does it happen? Do you just say, hey, Abraham, and it shows up?
The only time that I was not ever able to bring Abraham in was when the neighbor's dog got in our chicken yard years ago and mutilated some of our chickens. And I was so upset, I couldn't relax enough to receive them.
So once you channel Abraham here on XM 156, once you do that, then I'm talking to Abraham. Are you hearing what Abraham is?
I hear every word, okay, but what it is, I don't go away, but I become more is the best way to explain it.
Because tell me again what you said last week, that it's a vibrational field.
Yeah, I don't repeat words. They offer a vibration that, because I've practiced for so many years, I tune to it easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do it too, Oprah. I think you are every bit as weird as me. You just don't use the label.
And how do you see that I'm weird, Esther? How so?
Oh, I don't see you as weird. I only say weird in the sense that I believe that you are weird in the way that I'm weird, in that you receive broader perspective, or you'll get an impulse that when you follow it, it just at the right time, it's exactly right.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going to ask you to bring in Abraham.
All right. You'll like it.
I'll like it.
We are not really as strange as all of that. It is nice to have an opportunity to visit.
So, Abraham, do I call you Abraham? Do I call you Esther? What's the protocol?
Mm-hmm. Most call us Abraham. Some call us Estherham.
Estherham.
Abraham is fine.
Mm-hmm. And so when I this is so weird. So as I sit here on a...
It's not weird from your perspective, but as you try to define it through the eyes of others,
yes,
you see them as seeing it as weird, and so then it feels weird. But in reality, it is not weird.
Yeah.
Everyone is doing this to some degree.
To some degree. Yes. Thank you for that clarification. So may I ask you some questions about some of the feelings that people have after hearing that they are attracting into their lives everything that is happening? So are you saying that everything happens in our life for a reason?
We are saying that, but differently than that, in this way. Everything happens for a reason sounds a little bit like it is an outside reason that has been assigned. We say everything is happening because of the vibration offering that you are setting forth. Everything that is coming to anyone is coming in response to what they've been thinking about. As you think a thought, it activates a vibration, and as you continue to think it, that vibration becomes stronger until eventually you call it a belief. A belief is just a thought you keep thinking. And once you have activated a vibration enough that it is dominant within your vibrational patterns, then law of attraction matches it up with things like it.
So that's why the law of attraction is that you bring into your life that which is unto itself.
That is it exactly.
Then why do such bad things happen to people who are not thinking about those bad things?
Well, the best way to describe that is by saying to you that the thoughts that they have been thinking have the same vibrational essence. In other words, someone might say, I did not think about that specific thing. But there is no question, if something happens, what you are living always matches what you've been offering vibrationally. There are no exceptions to that. So the confusion comes in where what it means is people are offering vibrations that they don't know they're offering because they've been thinking thoughts. The thoughts are normal. It's like even what's going on in your nation today, there are so many thoughts that are fear-based, and people accept them as normal, but they are not good for people to think those thoughts.
For instance,
as you are thinking about terrorism and worried about it coming to you, wanting to be aware of what color the terror alert is today and things of that nature, as you hold your thoughts upon those things, in time they begin to feel normal.
But why shouldn't we feel a sense of terror? Because we've experienced terror in this country. That's what was the purpose of 9/11?
Things do not happen because something outside of you is assigning you a lesson. It is that as you are living life, your response to life causes you to offer vibrations that then law of attraction responds to. So it's a little tricky to say that 9/11 happened for a reason unless you understand that it was the culmination of a lot of people giving a lot of thought. In other words, it was sort of a trigger point, you might say, to people feeling powerless, large numbers of people feeling powerless over a long period of time.
I ask the question because the terror alerts resulted from 9/11.
Yes.
And that attack on our country, on our beings and our sense of security.
Yes.
And our sense.
Yes.
Of feeling like we were safe. And so the terror alerts are there.
Yes.
As a warning to.
Yes.
People, supposedly, to say, you're not as safe as you think you are.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, there are all kinds of things that are happening. People have cancer and people get run over by trucks. We are certainly in agreement with you that there are things out there that are happening that if you give your attention to them, you would feel those emotions of terror or fear. But what we are suggesting is that if you are able to not just look around and take what's happening as it's given to you. So something bad happens, you have a fearful response. Something good happens, you have a joyful response. But instead, you decide how you want to tune your responses. So you become a more selective sifter. You don't just look and feel. Instead, you decide how you want to feel, and then you look. So now you have control of your vibrational offering, which means now you have control of your point of attraction.
Because we're all vibrational offerings.
We are all vibrational beings, everything is.
And you are attracting to yourself the vibrational frequency, the vibrational offering that you are putting out.
Every time, no exception.
Even if you're 4 years old.
Even if you are 1 year old, even if you are in your mother's womb. Vibration abounds, and you are you see what happens. You are
this is where we get hung up here, because I don't understand, and I'm sure many people listening to us don't understand, how an innocent child attracts being raped, an innocent child attracts being abused, an innocent.
Yes.
Child attracts being kidnapped and butchered.
The first assumption that makes it hard for you to come round to understanding is the assumption that in order to create, you must have language, you must be speaking. And so if a child is not speaking, then they must not be attracting. Where what is happening is you are attracting as your animals do. You, even though they do not have language, they are communicating in very powerful ways vibrationally. The question that you asked when we began, we want to come back around to that because it is a good basis for this. People often, when they first hear about law of attraction or that you create your own reality, most are very excited about the idea because they want control. They want control over the bad things, and they want to be able to bring in more of the good things. Then, soon after, as they discover that control of their own experience means control of their own thoughts, then they're not so sure about all of that, because it's not an easy thing to control one's thought with so much stimulation around. And so that's really what you're speaking to.
Yes.
If there is the responsibility of a parent or a mentor, it would be to teach the child that they have guidance within. And if they are listening to the guidance within, they could not comfortably ever settle on the thoughts that would then attract something unwanted.
Okay, I'm here on XM156. Trying to attract a very good vibration here, talking to Esther Hicks, who is channeling Abraham on the show. And my question to you, though, is not about the vibrational. I understand the whole vibrational frequency.
Yes.
Thing, and that's why I feel that, in terms of The Secret, that it's a great tool.
We agree.
It's a great tool. But I don't think that it's an answer to every single question in the world, because there are many other universal laws at play. Everybody's born and everybody is going to transition. Everybody comes to Earth. Everything that comes to Earth eventually takes another form and moves through the Earth and out into wherever we go. I should ask you, where do we go?
You withdraw your consciousness from this physical experience and you reemerge into non-physical, and you feel yourself as the culmination of all that you have become. It is an exhilarating experience in one fell swoop to leave behind all doubt and fear and worry and self-denial, and to become in one moment the full recognized being that you are. it's important to know that you came into this body from your non-physical perspective.
Mm-hmm. May I interrupt a second? Because I just thought this. Are we making too much of the whole body thing? Are we kind of caught up on it because that's what we are? Are we making too much of it? And so people say, for example, this person has a bad life, this person has a good life, and the way we define good life is by how many things you can have, and bad life is that you didn't have as many things. And I ask that question because as you visit different parts of the world, I see people with absolutely nothing who are far happier than most of the people that I see that have lots and lots of different things. So are we in the wrong frequency? Are we thinking the wrong things about what is good and what is not?
Well, it isn't wrong to seek material things. You are physically manifested. You have a material body. And so it is right that you would want to surround yourself with things like that. But what happens, whether you are in an environment where there is very little stimulation about wanting things, or whether you are in an environment like this where there is so much stimulation about it, the important thing to understand is that whatever life you're living, your life is causing you to define what it is you are wanting. You're constantly emitting these rockets of desire as you sift through the contrast of your experience. It's not a complicated story to unravel, and we can give it to you in a very short period of time if you're wanting it.
Please do.
So, you are source energy, every one of you, and you make the decision to come forth into these physical bodies because you know that this leading edge experience on planet Earth is the leading edge experience, not just for man, but for that which man calls God. So as you express yourself forward into these physical bodies, the environment that surrounds you and the contrast of it helps you individually and uniquely to define what you desire. And as that desire is born within you, even before you can put words to it, it radiates from you like a rocket. And the source that was you before you were born follows that rocket and literally becomes the vibrational equivalent of every hope and desire and dream that every one of you dream. So out of the contrast is born the anew, the renewed, the expanded version of life. We like to refer to that expanded version of you as your vibrational escrow. It's who life has caused you to become. But most physical beings, even though life is causing them to become this, they stand looking at what they have rather than looking at who they have become. So they affect a separation between who they have now become and who they are letting themselves be. But the source within them always calls them toward it. That's why when you feel enthusiasm, you are on the same vibration. Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss, and we think those are the best words that have ever been offered. But sometimes you cannot get a whiff of bliss. If you are in despair, if something bad has happened, if you've witnessed something, and someone is saying you should follow your bliss, even though Source is calling you, you can't hear it because the vibration of where you are and the vibration of Source is different enough that you can't hear it. Not that it isn't calling, but you can't hear it. So, do you know what the call of Source sounds like? People say it must sound like harps and angels.
No.
We say it depends on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in appreciation, the call of Source feels like elation. If you are in despair, if you feel powerless, the call of Source feels like rage. If you are in rage or anger, the call of Source then feels like frustration. In other words, it's a slight improvement from where you are is what the call of Source always sounds like. So 9/11 came out of so many people feeling so powerless for so long that the next logical step for them was something. We always say we want to call you through the rage and revenge so that you don't act on it, but it is a logical place to be. If you've ever been depressed, you know how much better you feel when you get mad. And your friends don't want you to be mad. They liked you better when you were depressed, but you've got to admit at least you're breathing now. You do feel better. So everything about coming into alignment with who you are is about closing that gap between whatever you're focused upon in your now experience and who you really are.
Well, this has been very interesting. Very interesting. Thank you, Esther Hicks. Thank you, Abraham. But it's time to wrap this chapter of our exclusive Soul series here on Oprah and Friends XM 156. fascinating to me. Next week, more on how we can apply the law of attraction in our own lives, which I know lots of people are talking about these days. And does it work or doesn't it work? And does it make you a victim if bad things happen? And find out if there are other universal laws that also will help us begin to live a more purposeful life. I'm Oprah on Oprah and Friends, XM 156. How did we get so far off course?
In their first interview, they spoke of the controversy behind The Secret.
If you're really attracting everything into your life, then when you have cancer, you attracted that?
Then Abraham spoke to them.
I have to tell you, I couldn't tell the difference between you and Abraham.
You don't find him a lot smarter?
No, I think you've been listening to him for so long, you're getting it yourself.
I think I do have it.
But in their third and final interview, Oprah and Esther Hicks talk about how to apply the law of attraction in our lives.
There is a current to everybody's life, and there is a flow in your own life. And if you're struggling, it means you're moving upstream. Turn around, find the flow.
And you don't even have to turn the boat and paddle downstream. Just let go of the oars. The current will carry you.
That's what I always say.
And see, so you know.
Next time on Talk to Me.
God is the secret.
God is at the heart of everything that is.
If you have any questions about Oprah's Soul Series, please call 866-OPRAH-XM. Or visit Oprah.com.